Okay, we began last time discussing the sugya of Mechitza She'ena Nikeres, the Gemara in Erev and Adaf Pei Tes Amin Aleph. The Gemara presented a Machlokas Rav and Shmuel in the situation of Gogo Sa'ir. You have a roof on top of multiple dwelling units, and the question is whether there's a heads or tiltal on that roof from the area over one dwelling unit to the area over another dwelling unit. So in the context of that discussion, the Gemara presents a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel about mechitzas she'eino nikaras. According to Rav, by mechitzas she'eino nikaras, there's no het or tiltal, because we don't say gudasik mechitzta. And according to Shmuel, we do say gudasik mechitzta even by mechitzas she'eino nikaras. We left off last time discussing the position of the Ri in Tosos Dibur Maschil B'Mechitzos She'eina Nikaras. The case of the Gemara of Kol Gog HaSeir is talking about where you have multiple dwelling units. Oh, the picture is still away from last time. You have multiple dwelling units, and there are Mechitzos between each unit. And the question is whether you can view those Mechitzos as going up through the mechanism of Gadasik. So if you don't say Gadasik Mechitza by Mechitza She'eina Nikaras, so you don't have the right to draw these imaginary lines up between the various units. And Tosa said, quoting from the Ri, that this din of Mechitza She'eina Nikaras doesn't only apply in this situation, it applies as well in the situation, even if you have, let's say, a single house, a single dwelling unit, but you have a blita, you have a protrusion that goes out over the side of the edge of the house, the edge of the building. And if that blita is Dalit Tvachim wide, then that's also considered a Mechitza She'eina Nikaras, and you don't have the right to view that Mechitza is going up and being makif the area on top. And therefore, according to Tosos, the Tosos quotes from the Ri, that this area is going to be Asur Tiltal, because that's considered to be Nifras L'Makam. Asur is considered to be Nifras to the area above the house, which is considered a Makam Ha'asur. So the question we left off with, which many are bothered by, is why Tosfos has come on to the concept of Nifras L'Makam Asur Lo. Why doesn't Tosfos simply say that the area above the house is not a Rishus HaYachid because it's lacking Mechitzos, and therefore that entire area has no Het or Tilto, there's no Rishus HaYachid, it would all default as a Karmelis. So the Marasha there, and that Tosfos, and that Peitas, and Erevin says something. It's a little bit unclear exactly what the Marasha means, and that's the subject of a Machlokas of the later Achronim. So the Avnei Nezer in Arachayim Simen Ayin Reish Beis Sivav, Simen Ayin Reish Beis Sivav, assumes that what the Marasha meant to say is like the position of the Chacham Svar, the Ramban, the Rashba, in Shabbos and Dap Tzadi Tes Amid Beis, that even though we don't say Rishus Hayachid Ola Adla Rakia without Mechitzas Nikaros, nevertheless, the area on top of the house would itself be considered a Rishus Hayachid even without coming on to good aspects. Let's draw a little bit of a better picture. So you have a house here, and you have this blita of Dalet Tachim. So even though you don't have the right to say Gadasik over here because this is a Mechitza She'eina Nikaras, and you don't say Rishus HaYachid Ola Adla Rakia, nevertheless, the ground immediately on top of the roof is itself considered a Rishus HaYachid. The Avnei Nezer writes that it's Ki'ilu Hofia Ruach HaKodesh Bebeis Medrasha Shel HaMarasha, even though the Marasha didn't have access to the Rashba because the Rashba wasn't yet printed in the Marasha's day, nevertheless, the Marasha was mechavin to the Rashba and Shabbos and Daf Tzadi Tes, Kilo Hofia Ruach HaKodesh Bebeis Midrasho Shel HaMarasha. That's how the Avnei Nezer understood the Marasha and understood Tosfos. Alternatively, you could say, and this is what the Shulchan Aruch Rav says, that no, even without Mechitzos Nikaros, you can say Rishus HaYachid Ola Adla Rakia. It's not just the area on top of the roof proper that's considered Rishus HaYachid, but you don't need Mechitzos of Gudasik in order to say Rishus HaYachid Ola Adla Rakia. So the entire area above Adla Rakia may be considered Rishus HaYachid, even absent Mechitzos even absent mechisas nikaras, even without the ability to say good asik. That's what the Shulchan Aruch HaRav writes in Simen Shin Mem He Seif Kaf Gimel. And Ramosha assumes that way as well in his explanation of the Shita Sari. Ramosha in Simen Kuf Lamites Anaf Aleph, Kuf Lamites Anaf Aleph. Okay, that's basically what we got up to last time. There is a lashon in the Hagos Mordechai, Hagos Mordechai Perek Bechol Ma'arvin, which very much sounds like this second position, the position of the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, that we say Rishis Hayachid Ola Adarakia, even without Mechisas Nikaros, even without good Asik. As the lashon of the Agos Mordechai, Perek Bekom Arvin is as follows: Rav Amar Ein Metalvlin Ela B'Dalad Amos. According to our Gemara, Rav says that in the case of Mechitzas She'enu Nikaros, you're only allowed to carry within four Amos. Lo Armina Good Asik Mechitzta, because we don't say Good Asik. So ask the Agos Mordechai V'Kasha, Ma'ich Baslan. What difference does it make whether we say Good Asik Mechitzta? Harishis Hayachid Ola Adarakia. After all, don't we say Harishis Hayachid Ola Adarakia? So even though there are no Mechitzas Nikaros, even though you don't have the ability to say Good Asik Mechitzta, nevertheless, the principle of Harishis Hayachid Ola Adarakia still applies. Yeah, now
it's Good Asik, I mean, where would that apply? Underground or?
No, underground would be good asik. Good asik would be, you're asking what is good asik relevant for?
No, meaning if you say, Rishis Hayachid Adarakia,
right,
where you need good asik, if the walls extend upwards, but you say Rishis Hayachid extends upwards anyway, then what's really the function in that case of good asik?
So Rishis Hayachid Ol Adarakia would tell you that there is I guess we're working backwards. That's Tosis's Chiddush here of Nifras L'Makam Asur Lo. Right? If not for the principle of Nifras L'Makam Asur Lo, so then it would be mutter to be metaltal here because Rishis Hayachid Ol Adarakia.
Right.
But even though Rishis Hayachid Ol Adarakia, there's still a problem of Nifras L'Makam Asur Lo. So if I had Mechitzas Nikaros, so then not only is the Rishis Hayachid Ol Adarakia, but it's a bona fide Rishis Hayachid that isn't Nifras L'Makam Asur Lo. They have real Mechitzas.
Right,
so that's Tosis's, that's precisely the point. Why Tosis comes and says that it's Nifras L'Makam Asur Lo. That's how the Hagos Mordechai answers his question. The question is, why do you have to come on to what difference does it make that there's no good asik? W'tevish Yaseyachet Ola Rekiya. So his answer is, it's still Nifras L'Makam Asur Lo. Then the Gos Mordechai doesn't like that either. He says even he thinks that Rishis Hayachid Ola Rekiya should solve the Nifras L'Makam Asur Lo problem also. So he gives a different teretz that Lo Nicha Tashmishtei, that maybe the quality of Rishis Hayachid is diminished because it's not something that is used in a normal fashion. You're afraid of heights, so absent real mechitzos, then even though in principle you might have said Rishis Hayachid Ola Rekiya without Mechitzas She'enu Nikaros, but the status of Rishis Hayachid was diminished because it's Lo Nicha Tashmishtei. Okay. But either way, both according to the Avnei Nezer and according to the Shulchan Aruch HaRav and those in their respective camps, bottom line, you need Mechitzas Nikaros to solve a problem of Nifras L'Makam Asur Lo, but you don't need Mechitzas Nikaros to make something into Rishis Hayachid. So even without Mechitzas Nikaros, the area on top of the roof could have been a Rishis Hayachid. It's just a separate problem of Nifras L'Makam Asur Lo, and to solve the Nifras L'Makam Asur Lo problem, you would need actual bona fide Mechitzas. Avi.
What's so specific about this situation that does not
Well, the Hagos Mordechai says it's only Nichas Hashmishta because you're worried you may fall down. There are no walls, so you're on a roof.
Okay.
There's no makkah.
So, yeah, you didn't fulfill the Torah requirement of kind of bend.
Right.
If it's a big roof, especially.
So the way Hagos Mordechai says it is that because you're afraid you may fall down, it's considered lo Nichas Hashmishta. That's the only, to my knowledge, that's the only Rishon that has that kind of formulation in this context. My interest in quoting the Hagos Mordechai was more for the presentation of the kasha, the assumption that Rishas Hayachid Olarki exists even by Melchis and Higaros, and the answer itself, presumably the other Bali tells us that you disagree with because they don't have it. Either you don't have to come on to it or it's not true. Okay. But either way, according to the Ri, you do have this issue of Nifrat Lamakam Asrlo, although you may not need Lechis Nikaras to define the areas of Rishas Hayachid for other matters of Halacha. There is the Evan Ozer, one of the Farshim and Shachan Aruch, has a different approach in the Shita Sari. So he assumes that the Ri is only talking about a limited situation. I think Sam might have asked this last time, or someone. The Ri is only talking about a situation where the belief is on one side. So you have a house with four sides, and on one side you have a blita, and on the other three sides you have mechitzas nigaras. So if you have mechitzas nigaras on three sides, and the blita is on the fourth side, presumably assuming that Minotauri may need four mechitzos to make a Rishis Hayachid. But if I have three mechitzos that are valid mechitzos nikaras, and I just have the blita on the fourth side, so the only issue that we need to deal with is that of Nifrat Lamakam Asrla. But in a Hanami, if there were mechitzos she'ein nikaras on multiple sides, then the entire area would not be Rishis Hayachid because it's not Mukach Mechitzos. It's all the other Achronim explained in Tosfos that fundamentally the area on top of the Gag should be Rishis Hayachid because you don't need Mechitzos Nikara to make something into Rishis Hayachid, and the only issue is Nefer Tamach Masrlo. The Evan Ogre says Nefer Tamach Masrlo is only relevant where I have three Mechitzos anyway. But in a Hanami, if I didn't have three mechitzas anyway, then the entire area is not a Rishis Hayachid to begin with, assuming that you can't have a Rishis Hayachid at all absent mechitzas nikaras. Okay? So that's the Evan Ozer, but most assume, like the first approach, or one of the two first approaches within the position of the Ri, that fundamentally the area on top could be Rishis Hayachid even without Mechitzas Nikaros, and the only problem is one of Nifras Lamakam Asrla. Shitas HaRash does seem to be different than the Shitas HaRi, even though we'll see that the Magen Avraham did not understand that way. The Rash seems to assume, here in the Sugya in the beginning of the ninth parak, Simen Beis, that the area above a Rishis Hayachid cannot become a Rishis Hayachid at all without Mechitzos Nikaros. Lashon HaRash, Simen Beis, Hilkach Gagin Shalanu Shebolten Rosheyan Rishis HaRabim. So our roofs that protrude over a Rishis HaRabim, Velo minkra mechitzta, and there are no mechitzas nikaros because of that protrusion. Havyon karmelis v'aser l'taltel al gaban dalet amos. So that is considered a karmelis. The roof is considered a karmelis, and you're not allowed to carry on top of the roof. Okay, again, Lashon HaRash. Gagin Shalanu Shibolton Rashay and Lushis Harab and below Minkra Mechitzta, having Karmelis Varsu Latatu al Gaban Dawadam. So, as the Karmelis Sano points out in Oath Aleph, there's no indication of the Rush
that there's any shear for the blita. The Ri says very explicitly that the blita is only a problem if it's going to be dalid tvachim wide. According to the Rush, there's no such mention. It's mashra that even without dalid tvachim, it's still going to be a problem because the entire area, absent mechitzos, is not a rishus sayachas. It's nothing to do with nifras malchum aserlo, but the entire area on top is not a rishus sayachas, absent mechitzos nigaros, and any protrusion is just going to be an extension of that area on top, which is not a rishus hayachim. And the Korban Nisanel writes, that is Shitas Rashi. And presumably he means the Rashi that we quoted a couple of times ago, where Rashi in multiple places writes that in order to make something a Rishis HaYachid, you need actual Mechitzas. So we have in Perikol Gagin, Rashi explicitly on that Nekuda. Tzadi Beis Amin Aleph Diber Maskel Af Gag. Tzadi Beis Amin Aleph Diber Maskel Af Gag. Rashi writes, in the context of a gag that is bolate, where there's a protrusion out of the roof, Rashi writes that absent real mechitzos, you can't have a rishus hayachid. If you look in the Ritva in Peites is mitzayin in this Rashi as being like the Shita Sari. I'm not sure exactly what he means, because on this line, Rashi seems like what we just quoted from the Rush, and not like the Ri. Okay, so according to this reading of the Rush, an area on top of a gag, if there are milchis l'shein and nikaros, is not going to be rishus hayachid, and therefore any blita is going to make that entire area into a non-rishus hayachid because there are no mechitzos nikaros, and therefore there would be no heter tiltel on top of the roof. Good. We here? Maybe. Okay. You can tell me you're not.
In the
past, they were a little bit slow. I think that's what the assumption is. Okay. And the Magen Avraham seems to have understood the Rush differently. Magen Avraham in Simin Shin Ayin Dalet Sivkat Din Hei. Shin Ayin Dalet Sivkat Din Hei. As the Magen Avraham quotes the Rush, the Chadamachta, with the Ri. So he lists the Ri and the Rush as being essentially the same Shita. But it sounds like he understood the Rush differently than the Korban Nisanel, differently than the presentation we just made. But as the Mishnah Berurah points out in the Ber Halacha, Simen Shin Mem Hei on Siftes Ayin, the Mishnah Berurah writes in the Ber Halacha on Simen Shin Mem Hei Siftes Ayin that the simple reading of the Rush is not like the Magen Avraham. And that is stima saposkim, that the entire gag is going to be aser mitiltol, even if the blita is less than dalet tvachim. So if that's the case, then lahalacha, what would emerge is that absent mechitzos nikaros, then you don't say rishus hayachid ola l'rakia, and you can't make the area on top of this house into a rishus hayachid. Now, there is a third position, which the Gaon thinks is lahalacha, the Beir Agra here in Shin Mem Hei on Siftes Ayin, which is the position of the Yerushalmi that Tosfos quotes. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us that there's no such thing as a karmelis lamala me'asara. Shabbos daf zayin amud aleph.
So the Ri assumes, and most of the Rishonim assume, that ein karmelus lamala me'asara means that if you have a regular ground, and that area on the ground is a karmelus, so then the rishus of a karmelus doesn't extend above 10 tefachim from the ground. But in this situation, the 10 tefachim starts from the roof, not from the ground. If you're standing on a different ground level, so your 10 tefachim starts from the ground level you're standing on. And therefore, ein karmelus lamala me'asara would mean that you start counting your 10 tefachim from this roof, and the area more than 10 tefachim above the roof is not going to be a karmelus, it's going to be a makom p'tur. But the area on the roof itself would be considered a karmelus. The Yerushalmi assumes, this is what Tosus quotes in the end here, which Tosus may even assume like in the end, and that's what the Gaon thinks is true halacha. The Yerushalmi assumes that ein karmelus lamala me'asara would apply in this situation also. That you can't have a karmelus more than 10 tefachim off the ground, even if you're standing on a different ground level above the ground. So according to the Yerushalmi, in this seer of the Ri, or of the Rosh, the entire area here is going to be a makom p'tur and not a karmelus. Okay, so just to recap what we have so far, we have Shitas Hari, that if you have a blita of Dalet Tvachim, so it's going to be Asur L'Taltel on top of this house because of Nifras L'Makam Asur Lo, because this Dalet Tvachim area is a karmelus, and the area on top of the house is Nifras to that karmelus. And most Achonim assume that it's only a problem of nifas l'makom asur lo and not a lack of rishis ha'yachid be'etzem, because on some level the area on top of the roof is rishis ha'yachid, either the shetach is hagag is rishis ha'yachid, or we say rishis ha'yachid ol arkiyah, even if that mechitzas nigaros. Then you have the shitas harash, that even if the bleat is less than dalet tefachim, there's going to be an isur tiltil, because the entire area is not a rishis ha'yachid, it's a karmelus, as lacking mechitzas nigaros, you can't make that area into a Rishis HaYachid at all. And then you have the position of the Yerushalmi that the whole area there is going to be a Makom P'tur, because Ein Karmelus Lamala Me'asara applies in this kind of a situation as well. Good? Okay. There is a tshuva of the Shaarei Tzion. Shaarei Tzion was the Bilsker Eloi. What?
According to Yerushalmi, the Blita played no role in that case.
According to Yerushalmi, the Blita plays no role, correct. Okay. So the Shuvah Shaarei Tzion, the Bilsker Eloi, who have a number of tshuvas on Erevin topics, he was from the Mekilim. He apparently was Achrai on the Erev in Praga, which was the smaller part of Warsaw on the other side of the river. Nachum Zema was from Praga. So he has a number of tshuvas on Erevin. Sometimes he argues on the Mishnah Yaakov, and Rabbi Ezra Schwartz likes to point out the Pasuk in Tehillim, Ohev Hashem Shaarei Tzion, called Mishkanos Yaakov. So the Tshuva Shaarei Tzion in Chelek Aleph Simen Dalet Anaf Aleph, Chelek Aleph Simen Dalet Anaf Aleph, he thinks that there's another sheet in Rishonim when it comes to Mechitzas Jain and Nikaros, and he thinks that you could be Somech on that Shita because of Safik Derabban Lekula. What's that Shita? So he thinks that the sheet of the Sarmi Kutzi, the Sarmi Kutzi is quoted in the Ritva in Erevin Daf Tzadi Amud Aleph, Dibra Maskel Ve'Amrinan. Erevin Tzadi Amud Aleph, Dibra Maskel Ve'Amrinan, quotes the Sarmi Kutzi, Tzadi Amud Aleph, Dibra Maskel Ve'Amrinan. So it's a little bit unclear what the Sarmi Kutzi actually said, but the way the Shaarei Tzion understands, the Sarmi Kutzi meant to say that the whole din of Mechitzas Nikaros, the whole question as to whether Mechitzas She'ena Nikaros allow you to say good asik, that's only relevant to the very limited issue of the Sugya in Erevin Peites about Chilukei Deyurin. It's only relevant to the situation where there are multiple residences, and the question is to whether you can be metaltel from the roof of one residence to the roof of another residence, of that in Erev Chatzeres. But fundamentally, as far as defining a Rishus, or as far as defining a Rishus, the Indian difference, the Malkam Asherlo, Evan would agree that even with Mechitas She'ena Nikaros, you say good Asik. And the Shari Tzion goes with that La'alacha because of Safik Derabbanan L'kula. If you look at the Chazon Ish in Simen Kuches, the entire Simen Kuches, is dedicated to disproving this position of the Shari Tzion, both in terms of his read of the Rishonim and in terms of what's true La'alacha. You won't go into the details, but that whole, it's a few pages in the Chazon Ish, all comes La'fuke from this lengthy tshuva of the Shari Tzion. Okay. Now, where is this all relevant, potentially, lahalacha? So, the bulk of Ramosha's lengthiest tshuva about the Manhattan Erev, or Erev in Manhattan, is dedicated to this sugya. Kuf Lamites, Anaf Al through Anaf Dal. The reason is that even if you were to grant that Manhattan is not a Rishus Arabim, and you were to grant that there are mechitzos around Manhattan that could constitute a lawfully valid mechitzos, the other area that issue that need to be dealt with is the bridges that lead Manhattan to other boroughs. If you have a bridge that maybe it starts here on ground level, and then, pardon me, poor artwork, then leaves the city. So here you have beams supporting the bridge, and then at one point it goes over the water. So what is the status of the bridge? If the beam under the bridge would presumably be considered a mechitza she'ena nikaras. But you can't notice the beam when you're on top of the ridge. So that should be a mechitza she'ena nikaras. So what is the status of that mechitza she'ena nikaras? Is that matir, the area on top of the bridge? Does that create a mechitza? But if you assume, like the Ri, then this presumably is analogous to the Ri's situation of a blita. If you have, you're coming out of the city, and then you have a blita that's more than Dalat Tvachim, and you have a Mechitza She'ena Nikaras under that blita. So Ramosha notes the following, that if you're going to go with the Ri, so then you essentially have your Mechitza She'ena Nikaras here. So let's say we go with the first Mahalach in the Ri, that you say Rishus HaYachid Ola Berkiah. So fine. So you have, even with that Mechitza Nikaros, you're going to say that you were still over Manhattan here, so you're going to say Rishus HaYachid Ola Adla Rakia, but you still have a problem of Nifrat Lamakam Asherlo.
that here you have your Shisayat Ola Rakiya, but it's Nifras to this area on top of the bridge, which should be considered a Carmelis. That should be a problem of Nifrat Lamakam Ha'asrlo, according to the Ri. So Moshe assumes that even if that's the case, and this is essentially a Carmelis, so you have your area here when you're exiting the city on the bridge, Nifras Lamakamelis, but at least a Tzuras HaPesach should help you. So if you're to construct a Tzuras HaPesach over here, given part of the drawing, that Tzuras HaPesach should be Matthew carrying in Manhattan.
Okay? That's what would emerge according to the Ri.
Question?
Yeah.
That assumes that the beam covers the entire length of the bridge. You're only focusing on the bridge area traveling outward. Meaning, let's call that...
Well, so we need to be matir this area, right?
This
is Manhattan.
My artwork would never be better. I'm just going to go with the way you drew it.
Okay, yeah.
Let's talk about the area you call Manhattan now. So you're
right.
Left.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all fine.
Mm-hmm.
And the only issue you're focusing on is the area to the right. Let's call that Brooklyn.
Well, that's over the river, yeah?
Right, over the river.
Mm-hmm.
But what about all that area, the depth of the picture, which is not being drawn, it's a 2D picture. That beam only, let's assume the beam is 10 feet wide and the bridge is 50 feet wide. So that's oblique in the other direction. Meaning the beam doesn't go flush against both sides of
The beam is constructed in such a way that it would be a halakhically valid mechitza, in theory, along the entire length.
Is that a mechitzas? I assume that more often than not, it's not that way. The beam covers the entire bottom of the bridge. It's not
you have multiple beams that are close enough to each other that would be sufficient.
Maybe if you look at the picture of the bridge.
Right,
the bottom of the bridge.
You can look at bridges.
I assume it's got one beam or two beams that hold up the bridge, and then there's a big platform on top. Sort of like a pole with a big flat concrete surface on top. I mean, if you look at the
picture. Not sure. Okay, we can look at pictures. I'll put you in charge of that.
Okay, so according to the Ri, what would emerge is that this is Nifrat Lamakamasala, this area which would be Rosh Hashanah is Nifrat to the Carmelis, but you can be misaki that with the Tzuras HaPesach. What about according to the Rosh? According to the Rosh, that Mechizas, She'en HaNikaros don't help to make the area above Rosh Hashanah at all, that even a Blita Kolshu is going to create a problem with Mechizas, She'en HaNikaros and not be Major Tilto on top of the Gag. So how does that translate into the situation over here? So, according to the Rosh, this entire area would basically be a Carmelis. And then you'd have to figure out what kind of tikkun is appropriate. So if it's really a Carmelis, so you can be Madre Carmelis with a Tzuras HaPesach as well. You know, this whole area is a Carmelis. So you could put a Tzuras HaPesach somewhere, that's going to be Matir Tiltol in the Carmelis. If it's a Rosh Hashanah, if Manhattan is a Rosh Hashanah, and then this area becomes a Rosh Hashanah, so then you would need Delosos in theory. You need more than a Tzuras HaPesach. So for that, Ramosha writes that he doesn't think, here Ramosha assumes that in order to make this area Rosh Hashanah, you'd have to have Shishim Riva traveling on that bridge, B'chol Yom, and that he says you don't have. And he says, anyway, he's assuming that we'll be Mako, like the Chitos, that in order to make Rosh Hashanah, you need Shishim Riva, so you don't have Shishim Riva, B'chol Yom, on any of these bridges, and then it only remains a karmelus, even though it raises the possibility that maybe you still be bothered by asurabim considerations, which we'll have to wait till we get to asurabim again. The bottom line, he thinks there would be what to be makel about to create suicide pesach if it's only a matter of a karmelus. And then, according to the Yerushalmi, you're home free anyway because everything's just a makom ptur, and then you don't have to be as concerned. Rav Shapter assumes that the chisaron of mechitza she'en ani keres, he quotes an Avni Nezer, the Avni Nezer we just quoted. I don't think the Avni Nezer is so explicit about this, but what he understands from the Avni Nezer is that the chisaron of mechitza she'en ani keres is basically a ground level issue, which means that if I have a roof here, I have a mechitza under the roof, and I want to use the mechitza to be makab area above the roof, so that roof is mafsik. So you can't say that a mechitza underneath the roof is going to be makab the area on top of the roof, because one has no shaykhus to the other. You wouldn't say that if you have a underground subway, and you have some kind of mechitza underground as part of the subway station, so that mechitza is going to be makif the area above the ground, because the area above the ground and the area below the ground have absolutely no shakas to each other. If you can't, there's no realization when you're above ground that the mechitza is underneath the ground. So the same thing is true by your standard mechitza shen and ikaras, that a mechitza that is makif this area under the roof can't be makif the area above the roof. So that's why in Rosh Hashanah's piece about the Manhattan Arab reprinted the whole tree, he makes out an arva about a Suicide Pesach on a bridge. Meaning, even if in theory you were to make a Suicide Pesach over the bridge, so there are two things that you need to accomplish in being makif. You need to create a Suicide Pesach to cut off the bridge, to allow tilt on one side of the bridge. But you also have to be makif Manhattan. You have to be makif the ground area. So a Suicide Pesach over here could only function to be makif the bridge, but couldn't function to be makif the area underneath it, which is a different ground level. So in theory, you could have another Suicide Pesach underneath, or you could have a Suicide Pesach over here. So the Suicide Pesach on top of the bridge wouldn't help for the area underneath the bridge. Rav Shapter raises other issues with the bridge situation. The bridge may be a Darach HaHolach merely here, and the construction of the Suicide Pesach have other issues that we'll talk about when we get to Suicide Pesach. But along these lines, Rav Shapter has another Kiddush, which is Lekula. Which he formulated or emerged after something that came up on our Woodbury Arab trip that I referenced previously some 12 years ago. So one thing that we encountered in that Woodbury Arab trip
certify things?
On the inland side.
Okay.
Went to school in 5 towns, 15 years.
Okay, so this is the Lawrence Middle School over here, which doesn't really mean anything to me, but...
Where I graduated high school.
I'm sorry?
We had our graduation there.
So behind the Lawrence Middle School is this little street called Lakeside Drive East. And Lakeside Drive East apparently is called Lakeside Drive East because it's on the side of a lake. Which, I'm sorry, there's a better picture last time. Anyway, there is water here, although it doesn't look like it. So one of the issues that we encountered was they were relying, this since has been changed, but they were relying on, see where the cursor is? This is a little bit of a retaining wall around the lake. So there were similar retaining walls on this side of the lake, which are not as clearly viewed in this Google map perspective. But they were relying on these retaining walls to constitute a mechitza for the Eruv. So one of the issues
the
here...
stopped there?
I'm sorry?
Maybe the Eruv stopped.
No, the Eruv included the houses on this side, right? But this is the border of the Eruv. The Eruv stopped over here, so these houses were included and the area on the other side wasn't.
Okay.
So one of the issues that this raised is the problem of Mechitza Sayam, that Mechitza Tluya Aliyam, we'll see, a hanging Mechitza, in general, we don't say good achis, we don't say, we're just talking now about good asik, we view the Mechitza going up. For Erevin, we don't say good achis, we don't say we view the Mechitza going down, if you have a suspended Mechitza, by Yavasha, but we do say good asik by Yam. So Mechitza Tluya is Matir Aliyam, but it's not Matir Liyabasha. That's a Machlokas Achronim. The Chazanish assumes that a Mechitza Tluya, even if it's Al Hayam, is not Matir Liyabasha on the other side. So one issue was that this might have been a Mechitza Tluya, which they might have been relying on to be Matir the area on the ground. So that's what Sugi will get to. But Rav Schechter thought that there may be other grounds to allow for using this Mechitza. What is that?
Back here. And this is written up in the article that first appeared in that Kol Tzvi and is reprinted in Ginas Ego at the end of Siman Ches. So Rav Schechter presents as follows, that even if we don't assume like the Ri and the Magen Avraham, of course the Ri Lalacha, even if we don't assume that Mechitza Shaden in Karis is only a problem if you have a bleat of Dalet Vavim, meaning we assume like the Rush, the standard reading of the Rush, we assume like what the Mishnah Berurah writes in Bar Halacha, most Rishonim assume that Mechitza Shaden in Karis is a problem even if the bleat is only a little bit. So even if the bleat is, let's say, 2 Tvachim, there's still a problem with Mechitza Shaden in Karis. However, Rav Schechter thinks it's pashut that, according to everyone, in order to have a problem with Mechitza Shenin Ikeres, the area on top has to itself be a minimum of Dalet Vavim. So you could have a Mechitza Shenin Ikeres here with 2 Tvachim on this side of the Blita if you have another 4 Tvachim over here. But if, in theory, you would have a bleat of 1 tefach, and then the area itself, the house itself, is only 2 tefachim, so the whole roof is only 3 tefachim wide, that's not a sheer makom. That's not a significant area. So a mechitza she'ena nikeres would not pose a problem if the area, the roof on top of it, is less than 4 tefachim wide. Okay? So far so good? In order to pose a problem Mechitza Shein Nikeres, the roof area that the Mechitza is underneath has to be a minimum of a sheer makom, a minimum of 4 tefachim wide. Or basically 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim.
Good? Okay. So, let's say you have a mechitz over here. Here's your wall. And then the roof on top is like the shape of a T. So you have your tufach up here and your tefach over here. And this, now you want to be makif, you want to use this mechitza shein and ikeres to be makif an area over here. Here's your ground level. And you want to use this mechitza shein and ikeres to imaginarily go up to be makif this whole area over here. So as long as this roof is less than 4 tefachim wide, then you could say good asik to be makif the area over here. So the situation...
Can you just describe that, what that wall looks like?
Yeah, so I'm gonna go back to the picture.
I just understand the wall there.
I'm sorry?
The width of that wall,
yeah,
is just true.
Mm-hmm.
It's very thin.
Right.
And there's like a T-shape on top.
Right.
Each side, but
right.
The area on top is neither... It's got no fit on either side. Weird looking wall. And that's all beneath the ground, correct?
That is all... it is under the ground. So this is the ground.
So the area on top is not... It is much more than 4 tefachim. The ground is...
No, no.
Wide.
The area over here, with this mechitza underneath, is less than 4 tefachim. So the issue over here was that there's a... There's a mechitza going down over here, okay? So on this side, it was a mechitza tluya. Let's say it wasn't 10 tefachim tall. And it went down in the middle of this...
It's not a boardwalk area. It's a... it's kind of like a wall.
The point was that here, at the point where the mechitza underneath met this area, and again, we're talking about the other side where I think it was much narrower than it is here, so the actual width of the area where the mechitza met it was less than 4 tefachim. So then the question was whether you could be mitzarev the mechitza tluya on the other side with the few tefachim going up on this side that wasn't 10 tefachim itself, as per the din of gidul chamisha mechitza chamisha, in order to make a halachically valid mechitza. Maybe you can get someone to go there and take a better picture. But that's the theory is that if you have an area here that's less than 4 tefachim, the mechitza shein and ikeres would not be a chisaron. And if I have something of a mechitza shein and ikeres here, I would be able to say good asset to be makiv the area on this side. Yeah.
To understand, does the wall end at ground level or the wall end above ground level?
The wall ends below ground level.
So then, it's a step down. If I'm walking on the ground, then I want to hit that wall.
Right. The wall dips beneath. But the question is, could you be mitzarev the area on top of this wall over here, which is less than 10 tefachim, it's the area on the other side,
That's a dinagidu chamisha mechitza chamisha.
What's that?
Which we'll get to. Okay. And then the fact that it's a mechitza sheni nikaris wouldn't pose a problem if the shetach on top is less than four tefachim.
Now, just without all the lumbus, just understand, what would be the problem of saying good asset from that retaining wall? Meaning that wall is...
If it's a mechitza sheni nikaris, oh, the wall itself?
Yeah, why can't we just say that?
Because it wasn't tall enough, that was the point.
The retaining wall itself is what's called 7 tefachim or so?
Right.
So what are we trying to say then?
There is right to say that you can mitzayir up the mechitza tuli on the other side with the less than 10 tefach wall on this side.
What's the wall on the other side?
The wall on the other side was the retaining wall that went down into the lake.
You're pointing to two walls. I'm missing.
So there... Again, it was, this isn't a great picture. So just imagine that here you have a wall that is less than 10 tefachim, and on the other side there is a wall dipping down that's also less than 10 tefachim. So you might be able to be mitzayir for those two walls and invoke good asik as well.
Okay.
If you take a look at the piece in the end of the Guinness that goes over there. Rishevka's other position to that ground level we'll talk about when we get to the Chitzos separately. Okay, so we'll end today for now. Next time, I guess on Monday, regular time, we'll begin the figure of Asarabim.